Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry.
And Apostle John went further and said, I was in the spirit, in verse 10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Now, what am I trying to point out in this chapter? What can we learn from this chapter is what I'm going to point out in a few moments. That Jesus Christ is the one that manifested to John here. Now, you may say, well, why, wait a minute, why did Apostle John wrote it and say it was a revelation that was given by God to Jesus and Jesus sent an angel to Apostle John? Are we contradicting ourselves here? No. Apostle John went and started by introducing his writing as this. I said, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him, which he sent through his angel. Now, who then manifested to Apostle John here? Was it the angel that Jesus sent? Or was it the Lord Jesus Christ himself? That is the question. Now, if you say that must be an angel that Jesus Christ sent that came and manifested to John, if you take that position, because he said in the opening of this chapter, he said he sent his angel to give it to Apostle John. If you take that position, then you will be wrong, because then are you saying it is that angel that is Alpha and Omega? No. Now, who manifested to Jesus, to Apostle John? Was it the Lord Jesus himself? Now, whoever manifested to Apostle John in this chapter claimed to be the Alpha and the Omega. Now, that is key. Now, somebody say, well, that actually is God that is Alpha and Omega. Well, if you say God is the one that is Alpha and Omega, then that has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And not another person. It's the only one person that is Alpha and Omega. That is what I'm trying to point out in this chapter. That is, this revelation was actually revealing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I'm going to compare scriptures with scriptures in a moment so that you can know what is the mystery that Apostle John wrote, Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Before I go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I want to point to two key verses here again. That is to, I'm trying to make you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Father in the flesh, and it is not another person from like people called another person of the Godhead. It's not another person. It's Godhead manifested to mankind in form of flesh, and that is the key thing. He said, "I am He that was, that liveth and was dead." Now we know that the only person that can claim that in heaven is the one that came to die for mankind on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. So that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, you may say, well, that separates him from the Father. Now, no. That says he's the Father also, because look at it here. He said in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, he said the Lord, which is, and which was, how can you say he was? When he died, that became like he was. And he said, but, and he's to come. Who is to come? And he said, he is the Almighty. In verse 8, the Almighty. That is Almighty God. There's only one Almighty. I'm pointing to these Bible verses to make you begin to wonder that the Godhead is one. Not three persons, one spirit manifesting to mankind. And he said, that same one God is the Almighty. But now, if he is the Almighty, why will he say he was and he is to come? Because that was Jesus Christ whom we are expecting. He was when he came and then died. Because we use past tense for people that were dead. And he said he is and he was and he is to come, because we are expecting him to come back again. And he said that is the Almighty. So this chapter, Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, is revealed to us who the Almighty God is. And this same Almighty God is the Alpha and the Omega. And this same Almighty God. He is the beginning and the ending. And this same Almighty God is the one that is and was and is to come. And this same Almighty God is the one that say he liveth and was dead and is alive forevermore. So we know that the only person that was dead and is alive again is Jesus Christ. He liveth and was dead and is alive forevermore. So this chapter 1 of Revelation alone should be able to convince anyone to make you to know that Jesus is God. Not just one of the gods. You know? He is the God that manifested to mankind. Well, let's go further and say, hey, somebody say, hey, you Mr. Man, you wait a minute. I can point to some other Bible verses that will contradict what you are saying, that there are three persons there. Let's see again. Apostle Paul told you in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, to make you to know that even the apostles, many of them did not really understand the mystery. But Apostle Paul started to tell us that there is a mystery in this thing. And he went in Colossians, we tell you more about it, what Apostle Paul was saying. He said, I want you to not to be confused or deceived by some sweet talkers about the mystery of God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, don't be confused by this mystery, because it is in Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Go and read it yourself in Colossians. But let me first read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You may say, well, when you read through some of the letters of the apostles, they look like contradicting, because they call him Son of God here, and now they call him that there's a mystery here. And then again, he says God sent, gave this revelation to Jesus, who sent it through his angels. But because of the way the background they came through, it was difficult for them also, just like it is difficult for many of you right now, to understand that God manifested in the flesh as Jesus Christ, and not that he was just one of the three persons. He is the Almighty God that manifested in the flesh. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And this is what Apostle, I didn't write this down, neither did I originate this message of the Godhead being one, God manifested in the flesh. Here is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And Apostle Paul will say, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Did you hear that? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. So all we are seeing is, it is God that manifested in the flesh as Jesus Christ. And say he was justified in the spirit and seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. The only person preached to the Gentiles is Jesus Christ. Believed on in the world and received up into glory. Now somebody say, wait a minute here. In Revelation chapter, in Gospel of John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ was praying to the Father. Who was he praying to? And I will explain to you again the mystery that Apostle John was writing here. And if you look at that prayer specifically, you will see some mystery here. Because the Bible specifically said about God that thou art a God that hideth thyself. God hideth himself in mysteries, couched in mysteries. Here, let's read that. Let's go to that John chapter 17 and see the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed before he went to the cross. In verse 1, he said, and this word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And he went further, he said in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self. Think about that verse. He said, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now you must say, well, he's talking about his own glory. He's actually saying the same glory that is your own self. That is, he's going back into that position of the Father. He's going back into that Shekinah glory. He's going back into that pillar of fire that is shed forth. And you are saying, you have to know this is mystery. That is, God, the Almighty God, can put off his own glory and come to this world in form of a human being. Let me take you now to Abraham in a moment. Before I go and compare scriptures with scriptures, I want to take you to Abraham. In Genesis chapter, Abraham was visited by three men. When the three angels, we probably talk about angels come to Abraham. But now I want you to see a point here when Abraham was visiting was ministering to these three men. Three angels came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 25, I believe. And when they were about to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and when these angels came to Abraham, Abraham was addressing one of them as Lord. And I'm going to point to it also that after Abraham negotiated with the Lord about how whether Sodom and Gomorrah could be saved, you will notice one thing. You will notice that only two angels appeared in Sodom and Gomorrah. That was Genesis chapter 18 and 19. Now I want to point to one or two few verses here. When they came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, the Bible said, Abraham lifted up his eyes, 18 chapter 18 verse 2. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, not plural, my Lord, one single Lord. So he was addressing one out of the three. And if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And he asked them to stay with him, and he will give them some food. And they came, and he said, do us away. Sometimes some of them, the other two spoke. When they said, and they said unto him, verse 9, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Now that is a mystery here. Some of two of the other angels perhaps spoke and said, where is Sarah? More or less to make Abraham to know that they were conversant with him. They know his family. They know the name of his wife. They ask, where is Sarah thy wife? Now, it's only one person that continued to talk. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And verse 13 also, and the Lord, only one Lord, said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? So now what I'm pointing out here is that three men came to Abraham. Watch in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even. So three men came to Abraham. Abraham was calling one of them Lord. Now when they departed, and you will see where they departed in Genesis chapter 18, verse 21, God said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is common to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now, the men went towards Sodom. One of them stayed with Abraham. Two of them went towards Sodom. And in verse 19, you will notice that in chapter 19, verse 1, only two angels came to Sodom at even. So the third one that stayed with Abraham was the Lord whom he has been addressing. Very clear there. Now, if God, that created heaven and earth, manifested to Abraham as a man, Son of Man, which was in heaven, you can now see it's difficult for you to understand that this same man is mighty God who was all along speaking to Abraham could also come in form of a flesh as a baby and rise and grow up and as Jesus Christ and then die for mankind and then go away back to heaven. It's a mystery. However, it's not a big thing for God to do. If he could manifest to Abraham and eat bread, like Abraham gave them bread and milk and beef, and he ate, and he said, and the angels also ate, God is mightier than what we think of. Now in chapter 19, he said only two angels came to Sodom. So that is the first thing I wanted to point out to you, that the same Lord has manifested to Abraham. And when he manifested to Abraham, he was just like a man, and he ate. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he spoke about it. He said, "Abraham, your father rejoiced to see my days, and he saw it and was glad." That may not be referring to that Bible verse. However, we also know that Abraham stood right there before God and talked to the Lord. Now, I want to compare scriptures with scriptures. Who was speaking through the prophet Isaiah all along is what I want to point to you. In Isaiah chapter 42, 43, 44, 45, and 46, you see that one particular personality was speaking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet. And this personality, whoever he was, claimed to be God. And if he is the one that everything is said about himself is to be taken as he must be the Almighty God that created everything. Now, that same title that he was using in Isaiah chapter 41, 42, 43, and 44, and 45, and 46 is the same title that Jesus Christ was bearing when he was on earth. And even in the New Testament, the same title. Then who was talking to Isaiah the prophet? Who was talking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet? That is the mystery that makes you to know that the Godhead is only but one. Not three persons there, one spirit, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he mentioned the same thing. He said, "No man has ascended up to heaven except he that descended, which is the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Now think about that. All the prophets have said they have seen when God manifested to them, God manifested to Ezekiel, and he saw fire, he saw cherubs of God flashing back and forth, and he saw a throne, and on top of the throne he saw a Son of Man. Now think about that. He saw somebody like a Son of Man that looked like pillar of fire, but he was still a trace of a Son of Man. That is, he looked like a human being. You see now, and Jesus Christ said, "That is the Son of Man which is in heaven. He came down from heaven to earth." That is the mystery I'm trying to make you to see. Who is this fellow that I've been talking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet? Let's read everything that he said in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Here he said, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Well, who was that spirit that was talking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet? Who said that? He said he will not give his glory to another person. Do you then think that, if you see, that is God that spoke through Isaiah the prophet? Now, do you think that same God will now send somebody to earth and call that somebody Jesus, and then say they should now be calling Jesus God, and has he not given his glory to another person? Unless he is the same person that came in form of human being and bear the name Jesus on earth, then he has not given his glory to another person. And what I'm pointing out here, you see the same thing in Revelation chapter 5. When the Lamb stood before the throne, there was one sat on the throne, and all the elders were falling before this one on the throne. And remember, now when they were saying there was a book that was sealed, who will be able to open the book that was sealed, that was in the right hand of the man on the throne? And the Bible said a lamb came forward as if it was slain, and he took the book, and all the elders now fell down before the lamb. If there are two people, don't you think it's like giving your glory to another person? But because they are not two people, it's the same one on the throne who came as a lamb of God. That is the mystery. The same one that was on the throne, whom the four beasts and the 24 elders were worshipping before this lamb manifested in that vision, that same person on the throne that was said everlasting, that was said the Almighty God, is the one that was holding the book and said, "Who is able to open this book?" And when the lamb that was slain came forward and took that book, because the lamb is the only one that's able to open the book, and everybody now worshiping the lamb is not transferring the glory to another person. It's the same person on the throne who will not share his glory with any person else, who manifested to mankind as a lamb of God. Now you see the mystery. That is what the Bible is revealing to us. And I pray that your heart will be able to comprehend this. And you will see all this reference to all of these chapters in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10 and Isaiah chapter 44 verse 24. Every point of view, you see the same person talking through Isaiah the prophet, proclaiming who he is, and that he is the Almighty God. And he said, "Ye are my witnesses." Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10. He said, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Isaiah chapter 43 verse 11. Now, whoever was talking through the mouth of Isaiah said, beside him there is no Savior. Well, and we say Jesus Christ is the Savior. So it got to be the same person that was talking through the mouth of Isaiah, whom we all have been knowing as God, talked through the prophet Isaiah, the same God manifested as Jesus Christ. And that is why beside him there is no Savior. And that is why Jesus Christ said, "No man can come unto the Father but by me." That shows that he is the only Savior. And in Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 12, Apostle Peter also said, "There is no salvation in any other person, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So there is only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So not that one save one another person send another person. It is Jesus, God manifested in form of mankind, and that is why he is the only Savior as Jesus Christ. The only Savior that said through Isaiah the prophet that beside me there is no Savior is the same Jesus. And verse Isaiah chapter 45 verse 5 said again, "I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gathered thee though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else." Now that is Isaiah chapter 45 verse 5 to 6. Now, all of these Bible verses are pointing to something. They are saying, whoever was talking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet must be God. If he said he will not share his glory with any person, whoever came as Jesus Christ that started saying he is also God must be the same person, because there has been no conflict since then. And let's go further again and read verse 23. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 23, and he said, "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." That was through the mouth of prophet Isaiah. This Lord God spoke this, that every knee shall bow unto him. Now, and who was saying that also in the New Testament? The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse in the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 11, he said, "Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord." Is it the sharing of glory? No, it is the same God that manifested in form of human being. That is why somebody thought, well, they are just like a family, a father and a son and the Holy Ghost, the mother. No. It was one God that manifested in form of flesh. The same Son of Man that was in heaven, who came down from the throne and became a human being. That was why Apostle Paul said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh. I did not write that down. You may say, "Well, Apostle Paul wrote some other things." Well, you see, they couldn't understand this thing, but they had some revelation. Apostle Paul had revelation that made him to write that chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. He said it's a mystery. And I want you to say, think about it and consider it. Consider all the scriptures, compare scriptures with scriptures, and the Lord will bless your heart. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 9 and 10 also said the same thing. And you say, well, that was all in the book of Isaiah. Let's go again to the book of Zechariah. And in fact, let me read Isaiah chapter 26 verse 19 to you, where this same person that was talking through the mouth of Isaiah prophesied about his own resurrection. Say, "Oh, you mean he said something about his resurrection?" Yes. Isaiah chapter 26, this same girl that was talking through the mouth of Isaiah said something in chapter 26, verse 19. He said, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise." You say, what does that really mean? He was prophesying through the mouth of a prophet Isaiah that the dead men of the Jews, some of the Jews that will be resurrected, he said, "Together with my dead body shall they arise." You mean God, we have a dead body? Yes, when he came as Jesus Christ, he was nailed to the cross and he died. That was why he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." And now you will notice that in Matthew chapter 28, when the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, the Bible said, the body of some saints in Jerusalem rose again with him, and he took them away with him. That was fulfilling Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. He said, "Thy dead men," talking to prophet Isaiah, "that your dead men, your Jewish dead men, some of them, not all, will live together with his dead body, will they arise." We know that some of the saints that were mentioned in Matthew chapter 28, that they rose up when Jesus Christ resurrected and went into the city and bear witness with some people, that was fulfilling Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. The Lord Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all these prophecies. Now, you may say, well, you have only been pointing to Isaiah and to New Testament. Let's look at one other prophet, Zechariah chapter 12, and see where that pertains to the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And all of these Bible verses are pointing to one thing. Whoever was talking through the prophet Isaiah as calling himself God is the same person that said he is Alpha and Omega in the book of Revelation, and is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah chapter 12, another prophet, many years after Isaiah, prophesied this again, that in verse 10, he said, "And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced." Now, "and they shall mourn for him." Now, look at that. He just prophesied that they will be looking upon him whom they have pierced. And we know that it was through the Roman Empire that the Jews caused the Lord Jesus Christ to be pierced on his side on the cross by that soldier. And then he said, "They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Now let's look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, where the prophet also said all the inhabitants of the earth shall mourn before him, more or less to point to the fact that this prophecies was talking, whoever was talking through those prophets is the same person that was talking in the book of Revelation here. Verse 7 said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so. So all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of the Lord Jesus Christ when he shall appear. The Godhead is one. God manifested in the flesh, and he was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, see, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is the mystery of the godliness, and I pray that those who are listening to this will be blessed, and they may know that Jesus, whom we have followed, is the way, the only way. See, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if we want to do this thing, let's do it right. Like the Bible said, he that has this hope in him, the hope that the Lord is coming to take us up again in the rapture, to escape the wrath of God that is coming upon the world, he that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And that's we are praying. He that has this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. Let's go into prayer. Well, praise the Lord. I would like to break in right now because we are running out of time.
This is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. On the internet, it's www.gospeldistribution.org. Join us again next week. God bless you.